Hello and God bless you. Please turn with me to the second chapter of the book of Colossians. In our last session, we were tremendously blessed to find that God has made us complete in Christ. All of the filling of God is in Christ, and Christ is in us, filling us to overflowing. That's what it means to be complete. We are going to begin with that concept and allow Paul to continue his thought process. In the first part of chapter 2, Paul has just warned us to beware of any philosophy or tradition that leads us away from living in the realization that we are complete in Christ. It's not of works, lest any should boast. We will begin in verse 10, but to get the context, perhaps we should start reading in verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein, with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. We have a tendency to read the scripture in isolated verses with no thought of the flow of the writer's thought. It is very easy to pull one verse out and use it to prove a point, but miss the actual meaning of the verse. We should always be looking for how the verse we are reading connects to the surrounding narrative. In the last session, we exposed the wonderful news that we are complete in him. We also looked at the meaning of the word complete. It means to be filled to overflowing, like a fishing net crammed so full that the fish are flopping over the top back into the water. Actually, we have been filled with all there is to be filled with. We have all the filling. God is the filling that fills Christ. Christ fills us. You just can't get any more complete than that. With all the filling of God in Christ in us, we are truly and thoroughly connected to God. This is why the Word says in Romans chapter 8, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors, through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." The impossibility of separation from the love of Christ becomes clear when the realization of our completeness dawns. If we have Christ in us and we are in Christ, then he is infused and absorbed into every part of our spiritual being. Full comprehension of our completeness in Christ informs every aspect of our lives. the way we see ourselves changes. The way we perceive our place in the world changes. We have a new purpose and a new spring to our step. We find rest and peace in the completed work of Christ on our behalf long before we were born. If we are, as Ephesians says, chosen by God and made to sit in heavenly places in Christ with Christ, who has all the fullness of God indwelling in us, then we can indeed walk as sons and daughters of God. The renewed mind is dependent upon the foundational assurance of our completeness in Christ. Now, other than the fact that we need to fully comprehend that we are completely filled, Paul wrote about our completeness to illustrate the absolute futility of religious rules and taboos to vainly try to beguile God into connecting to us. After establishing our completeness, Paul will now list some of the things that the Colossians were being told they had to do to attain holiness. The Judaizers were intent on convincing the Colossians that they were incomplete. From the Jewish perspective, the new believers were lacking in both heritage and religious procedures. Please note that both heritage and procedures are fleshly. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The Jews who were sent from Jerusalem were insisting that they had to be circumcised, become proselyte Jews, do the ceremonial immersion bath called a mikveh, here translated baptism, and follow the Jewish dietary laws, observe all the Jewish holy feast days, and bow to their hierarchy. And then God might stoop down to acknowledge them and allow them to become real Christians. As we read these verses, please notice that Paul answers the deceivers' charges as he lists their religious lies. They wanted the Colossians to be circumcised, but Paul tells them they have already been circumcised in the circumcision of Christ. For them and for us, the circumcision is made without hands, that is, it is already accomplished in Christ. He did it because we could not. We have Christ in us, and we are in Christ. Verse 11, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. An important principle is being taught here in these verses that we should not miss. Christ did it for us. When he suffered for us, so we do not have to. Because he died, we will live forever. He paid for and was punished for all our sins, so we are completely forgiven and have no condemnation because he has already paid in full. The Greek word for forgiveness means to send away. When God forgives us, he sends our sins as far as the east is from the west, and he remembers them no more. They are just gone. In Christ, God ransomed us, paid our debt, and rescued us out of the devil's ownership and placed us in the realm of Christ. We did none of that. It's not of our works, lest any should boast. When he was baptized for us. That is, we were in him being baptized. When he died, we died in him. He did it all. It is complete. We are complete in Him. Verse 12, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Not some, but all trespasses have been forgiven, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a shew of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let me ask you this question. If something is complete, what else is there to do to it? Nothing, of course. If you have a task to do and you fulfill it, is it complete? Jesus came to fulfill the law. Did Jesus finish His task? He fulfilled the law, completed it, and blotted it out, that is, erased it, because it was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. Do you remember from last time the meaning of the little word spoiled? If you remember from our last session, we found out that the literal meaning is one leading attached. It is a word picture or idiom that describes a defeated captive being led away, bound, and attached in a line of slaves, stumbling along, being punished for the slightest pause or twitch. If you have been spoiled by the philosophies and traditions of men which come from the stoichia or rudiments of the cosmos, you have been led away captive. This is what Jesus did to the principalities and powers. He made a public show of them, making a triumphant victory march, leading the powers of Satan bound and defeated. So we are complete in Christ. In Christ, all requirements have been met. In Christ, we have been redeemed, declared righteous, and holy. Christ fulfilled all of the law, every one of them for every one of us. It is done, complete, fulfilled. Therefore, we are complete, completely, completely complete. So why would we be concerned about some religious person judging us based on what we eat or wear or which day we choose to meet, or condemning us because we didn't follow their rituals? We are the body of Christ. We have Christ in us, the one who led religion away captive and nailed it to His cross. Why would we try to unnail it and crawl back into the stink of religion? Verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Religion is insidious. Those of us who are recovering from performance-based religion are like drunks in a liquor closet. We are so tempted to try just a little of this and a little of that, and we soon find ourselves stone drunk and beguiled. Old religious acquaintances want to know, why have we left the church? Of course we have not left the church. We are the church. the body of Christ? Perhaps we should answer their questions with a question of our own. When will you learn to be the church and stop playing church? The beguiling methods of religion are all designed to make you question your completeness. If you're not complete, then you must find a way to become complete. Religions are built around the idea that there is something we must do to achieve a state worthy of God's attention. Perhaps a sacrifice will appease the distant and angry God. Self-flagellation might do the trick. After all, the more I suffer, the more holy I become. Right? Perhaps if I hold my hands in the air, dance and sing while I beg God to show up. One thing you can be absolutely sure of: that guy or gal behind the curtain has not a clue as how to help you see your completeness. When you realize you are complete, you will see through the curtain of deception and stop supporting the religious lie. Verse 18. Let no man beguile you in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands have nourishment ministered, and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. The words "of your reward" are not in the Greek, and confuse the meaning of this verse. "Of your reward" was added by the King James translators. They, of course, were part of the Church of England, which had just split away from the Roman Pope. Beguilement reigned supreme in both organizations, with conditional performance-based rules and oppressive leadership. If you stop and think about the organizational structure, traditions, and philosophies of the religion you are either in or just out of, you will find a dedicated effort to keep people seeking to achieve, seeking approval of the leadership, seeking, sunk. Let no man deceive you, intruding into those things he has not seen. Religion puts on a good smoke and mirror show, presenting things they themselves have not seen. Puffed up in vanity, they pretend to be holy, but are as lost as a goose in a hailstorm, leading others to ruin. Beware, lest they beguile you. They feed on your fleshly mind. In the flesh, we want it to be all about us, our achievement, our holiness, our talent, our gifts, our ministry, ours, mine. But in Christ, our fleshly old man is dead. Romans tells us to reckon our old man dead from the rudiments of the cosmos. We are no longer subjects of the God of this cosmos. We are children of God. As a son or daughter of God, why do we choose to live like the slaves of the devil? Verse 20. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men? Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglect of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh? Will worship is self-worship, when we are deceived into chasing after performance-based religion, we are lured into self-worship. It's about false humility. Oh, look at me. I'm so humble and wise. Oh, watch me tithe. Look how generous and blessed I am. Oh, I thank God. I'm not a sniveling sinner like you. Have you seen my... Well, you get the picture. Chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Ordinances or laws of touch not, taste not, handle not, are for those who are not complete. We are complete. Just how complete are we? We are complete. In Christ, we died, were buried, and we arose. Yes, when He got up, we got up with Him. Even our resurrection is already accomplished. Did I say something about being complete? Since we are complete and risen with Christ, we should be seeking things of God where Christ sits at the right hand in the preeminent position of power and authority. There we are in Christ at the right hand of God. Christ is in us, which is the one and only hope of glory.